begin, we just begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this beautiful morning, God, that we can just come again into your presence, God, to hear your word, God. So, Lord Jesus, we just commit this time into your hands, Lord God. May I decrease, Lord, so that you increase, Lord God. Lord, I humble myself, Lord God. May today, Lord God, may I just preach your words, Lord God, and may your word, Lord God, just touch each and every single one of us who are listening in today, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we just commit this time into you, into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And this morning, I'd like to speak on the topic on Yahweh Rohi, or the Lord my Shepherd. And we're going to read two bits of text. The first one is in the New Testament, John chapter 10, verse 11. And then we'll jump to Psalms 23. But let's just read John chapter 10, verse 11. And it says there, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And then we'll move on to Psalms 23, the famous psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So today, as I said, I want to speak on this topic of Yahweh Rohi, the Lord my Shepherd. And as I mentioned before, the name Yahweh Rohi is another compound name of God, which is translated into English either as Jehovah Rohi or the Lord my Shepherd. And this is one of the most recognizable and famous names of God. Even non-Christians know about it, and I think many have actually heard of this Psalms 23. So I've spoken on the different compound names of God over the last year. I think I've spoken on five. The Lord who heals in the bitter waters of Marah. Yahweh Nissi, the Lord our banner. Yahweh Ira, the Lord our provider. And Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. And I've also expounded on the meaning of the name Yahweh or Jehovah, which is the root name or the personal name of God. And I've also spoken on the circumstances in which he's revealed them to, and who he reveals these people to. So it's important, but I'm not going to rehash it here. But there are a few more compound names of God that I can speak on, and we will get there, God willing, over the course of this year. But for the last few months, after speaking on those five different names, I have actually been struggling to complete this series. And especially coming to speak on Yahweh Rohi, the Lord our Shepherd, it was actually quite difficult for me because I had a natural prejudice against this name. So when I was younger in college, I had a friend who, well, I would call, say, being a nominal Christian, someone who was brought up in a traditional church, who probably knew how the church worked, the ins and outs, and went to church because their parents did. But I don't think that they had a personal relationship with Jesus, and certainly in their life, in the testimony, in their profession of faith, I did not think that she was actually a Christian. But one day, finally, she told me that she led worship. And the theme of her worship was Psalms 23, the Lord my Shepherd. And I was thinking that that's just so cliche, right? You're not really a Christian. You definitely don't pray about it, didn't have a relationship with God. We're not led by the Holy Spirit. But yet, how are you able to actually also know this psalm? And so it probably conjured up in my mind, and maybe I'm being a bit too harsh here, of dead traditional churches whose ministers have long lost the relationship with God and Holy Spirit. And yet they're able to just conjure up sermons, dry sermons. And one of this, the Lord, my Shepherd, Psalm 23, it's quite easy and quite cliché, I think. So I relegated this passage, this name, to some of the other cliché passages, especially like the one in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, blah, blah, blah. You hear that all in weddings. Even non-Christians know about it, talk about it, and if you ask them to write a sermon on it, they probably could talk something about it, right? So it lumped in this part of my mind where the Bible was dry and had no power. So I felt I did not have anything to speak on Yahweh Rohi, the Lord my Shepherd, in terms of Saturday morning CMP. But I thank God, actually, in his love, over the last 6 months or so, he gave me a revelation of how he is my shepherd in this very personal way. And come to think about it, as we had read earlier, this is the only compound name of God which is actually talked about twice. Once in the Old Testament, as we read, and also in the New Testament, in the book of John, in the seven divine I Am statements of Christ, where Christ, when he explicitly said, right, I Am, which was the same name that was revealed to Moses at the burning bush. But the seven divine statements and seven divine names were like, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the vine. And Jesus also says, I am the good shepherd. So it must be pretty important if Jesus talks about it in the Old Testament and also reveals himself as the good shepherd in the seven divine statements in John. And the book of 1 Peter also talks about Christ being our chief shepherd. And what I find out now is that this is one of the most comforting names of the Bible. And incidentally, it also actually ties in with the recent sermon series by P. Sam on Do Not Worry. So this morning, I really only have 2 points today, actually. Point one, God is our shepherd. Point two, we are all lost sheep. So on the first point, God being my shepherd, or God is our shepherd, I'm just going to actually just briefly talk about my testimony of the journey that God brought me through and how he revealed this name to me. There was a time in the middle, as the second half of last year, where I was crying out to God and wanting to actually experience two things which are mentioned in Ephesians. One is to know the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. And second is actually to know also what is the breadth, the depth, the width, the height, to know the love of God which surpasses all understanding, which is all written in Ephesians. And funnily enough, during that time, a sister from my house church also gave me this word that God wants to lead me into a season where we will know that God is working through you and also for you. And I did not really connect anything at that time, but on hindsight, this actually ties in with what I was actually crying for. God working through us, which is the exceeding power of God working through us, and God working for us, which is his exceeding love towards us. But in any case, I was crying out to God, saying, I'm a Christian for 30 years. Why do I not know the exceeding greatness of your power? Why do I not feel, experience your exceeding love? But then God brought me to a point in my work last year when I actually caught wind of my employment situation, that it could potentially be ended because head office was potentially looking to shut down basically the Asian operations. And I did not have any job lined up. And I got depressed, and I was thinking, God, is this really happening again? I'm going to be unemployed. I know what it was like before. Looking for a job is just so difficult. What am I going to do? And Hong Kong is so expensive. Then I went out to the pub, had 2 drinks, then I went home. And I got really panicked and depressed. And then I started complaining to my wife about all sorts of things, right? What are we going to do with our future? Like, am I going to find another job? I can't believe this is happening to me. This is like just so bad luck and stuff like that. And I was also getting her depressed. But anyway, then I went to bed. But then I was woken up in the middle of the night by this cool breeze. And I just felt God simply just tell me, remember Job. And it wasn't the good type of like remembering Job, that Job being the most righteous man, that in the trials and afflictions he did not sin. But I was actually just led to the part of Job in the part, especially in Job 38, the later chapters of Job, where God just basically showed up and answered Job out of a whirlwind and specifically asked Job, this is what he asked, who is this who darkens counsels by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. And basically over the 4 chapters, God begins to reveal his omnipotence to Job and just basically peppers Job with a bunch of questions. All right, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who determines its measurements? Surely you know. Or can you lift up your voice to the clouds that abundance of water may cover you? Can you? Or who gave the horses strength? So basically, he just gave Job a continued revelation of his awesome creating power. Then in the middle of those 4 chapters, chapter 40, God just asks, will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let him who reproves God answer it. then Job realizes he has actually nothing good to answer or nothing clever to say. And he just says, I should, you know, lay my hands over my mouth and not answer. But then God continues to press. He says, prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. He continues that. And basically God goes on to continue asking more questions. He says, can you draw Leviathan out of the water with a hook? It's quite funny actually. It's like God is goading Job. Please answer. Hello, where were you? Can you do all this? And at the end of those four chapters, right, Job just says that, or admits that I cannot answer God. And he simply says, you ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And so it's like with me, right? After complaining and talking about things that I did not understand the whole night, and complaining, being sad, and, you know, asking God, why is this all happening to me? Maybe the best thing that I could have done that night was to shut up. Then how many of you know that when God wakes you up in the middle of the night, he's like, you may be in trouble sometimes. And you know that there is actually a recent trend, and I'm not against that, is where people say that, you know, God is big enough to take your complaints, your frustrations, your anger, and all of that, and you can have a go at God. He's big enough to handle that. And in a sense, that is true, right? He took my complaints, he took Job's complaints. And he is not the petty sort of God where he'll just strike you down on the spot when you complain. You know, he's a good father. He wants to listen to what you have to say. But I think that maybe if you do this too many times, you realize that the Christian life is maybe all about yourself, self, self, and not about God. And maybe God needs to come and give you some tough love, like what he did to Job. And he'll show up in the whirlwind and just ask you, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? And when God reveals his awesome power, his omnipotence, then you realize you do not know anything. And everything coming out of your mouth is just garbage, rubbish. Then maybe you should just shut up and repent, like what Job did. But God was gracious. So after that small rebuke, he led me to Psalms 23. And he just gave me a simple revelation in my heart that I am a lost sheep and that I was in need of a shepherd. And yet, God was also my personal shepherd. We'll talk about the lost sheep later. But in terms of the revelation of him being my shepherd, I had this just conviction in my heart that in terms of unemployment, having a job, not even having a job, having tight finances, not being able to stay in Hong Kong, whatever God chooses for me to go through at the time, he is my shepherd. And he is the one that was actually leading me through all these circumstances. But even if he was going to lead me and chose to lead me through those circumstances, he was the one that's personally going to take care of me, to lead me through. And because he was my shepherd, I can just not worry. And so after that supernatural revelation of Psalm 23, it just sunk into my spirit. And the next day, I actually stopped panicking and being depressed. And then my wife thought that it was the most strange because it was a 180-degree turn. And I was just acting normal and having no worry at all. And I can say that I experienced for the first time what it meant to say when the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which guards your heart. So that was something that I felt, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. As written in Philippians 4:6-7, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make a request known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so it was all cool. But just note that in the psalm that we read, in this Christian life, we will go through the times when we are beside the still waters, when we lie down in green pastures. But make no mistake, it also says that we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I guarantee it. It's a guarantee. But yet, what it writes is, yeah, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Because your rod and your staff, they guide me. And as P. Sam also said, this is only a valley of a shadow of death. And as far as he knows, shadows do not kill. But God, my friends, God will lead you through those circumstances, those situations where you feel that life is crashing down, where it's dark, lonely, scary. You can't think that you will survive. You think you will die. But make no mistake, God is leading you through them. But God also says he is with you and he is guiding you. And it's written in the Word of God, God cannot lie. And this is something that I'm beginning to appreciate more. It's the very nature of God. His personal character is revealed in Holy Scripture and who He is. And I need to believe, or I'm beginning to have this conviction that God is who He says is this. God cannot lie. But so many times we, as I mentioned before, we think that, you know, God is a liar. Let every man be true, God is a liar. But that's not the case. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And I tell you, the promises that contain in Scripture are just so rich, and the character of God is just so good in the Bible. And if we just believe it, it will just strengthen our spirit and allow us to actually walk through those very dark times. And I tell you, God cannot lie. Because if He lies, the whole earth will end immediately. Psalms 119:90 says, you establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances. Hebrews 1 chapter 3 says, the Son upholds all things by the word of His power. And so it shall be, if there's any inconsistency, any lie in God's word, it'll be like a glitch in the matrix. And the whole earth will come tumbling down. Because the whole earth, the very foundation and the very existence of this earth is sustained by the integrity, the accuracy, and the excellence of God's word. Think about that. It's a matter of life and death, of the very existence of this earth. But coming back, as I mentioned, the promises of God in the Bible are just so rich, so precious, so personal. And God wants you to experience that too. And here He says, He is your shepherd, and He gives you the promise of guidance. And even talks about it in the New Testament where He says, I am the good shepherd. Peter says He is the chief shepherd. And we know in the book of Luke, the parable of the lost sheep, where it says that when one sheep was lost, He left the 99 to go searching for the one sheep. And when He found that one sheep, He was just so happy, put it on His shoulders and went back so happy. Which actually brings me to the next point. We are lost sheep, which is point two. And I'm not talking here about pre-salvation lost sheep, right? There is that aspect. But I'm talking here about being a Christian lost sheep. Yes, God gave me a revelation that I was a lost sheep, even though I was Christian, and that I was in need of a shepherd. And in my desperation and my depression and panic, I cried out to God, God, I'm just so lost. I'm a lost sheep. Come and save me. Come and seek me out. And God also came and graciously revealed Himself as shepherd to me. Now you may ask me, how can we be a Christian lost sheep? Is that in the Bible? I tell you, it is. But, and indeed, all of us need to come to that place. We are all lost sheep, and we need to do cry out and to admit to God that we are lost, and God, come and seek me out. And when you do that, God will carry you and bring you back on His shoulders. So let's actually turn to Psalms 119, as I mentioned before, and let us just look at the last verse. But before we go there, just talk a little bit about Psalms 119. I love it, and you should actually read it if you haven't already. And if you didn't know, this is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it actually expounds on the excellency and the accuracy of God's word. So the whole Bible is talking about the word of, the whole chapter is talking about the word of God. And so you get famous verses from this chapter like, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's verse 105. Or the verse like, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. That's verse 89 to 90. Or the famous one, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. That's Psalms 119, 9 and 11. Okay, so as I mentioned, this chapter deals with the excellency and the accuracy of God's word. But just notice what the psalmist concludes with at the end. And let us turn there. Psalms 119, verse 176. Verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. See, here we're not talking about a non-Christian, or even a new Christian for that matter. We are talking about a mature psalmist who wrote scriptures, who longed after God's word, who wrote over 70 theologically accurate statements expounding on the excellencies of God's word. Yet he came to the conclusion that I have gone astray like a lost sheep. God, come and seek me out. Yes, I tell you, it's not enough to just know about God's word. If you want a revelation of God, you need to come to God humbly and cry out that you are a lost sheep. But how many of us have actually done that in our Christian lives? I certainly had not, after being in the church for more than 30 years. But I am actually doing that more now. I'm crying out to God. Say, God, I am a lost sheep. Come and seek me out. And don't get me wrong. I believe in the accuracy and the importance of God's word. I believe we need to know the word of God. And as mentioned, God cannot lie in his word. And so important for us to know his word so that we do not get led astray by lies, false teachings. And we need to know his word so that we know how to respond to him when he speaks to us. What I'm saying is to convert the word of God into a heart knowledge. We need to cry out to God. Exactly like what the psalmist says. I am but a lost sheep. Seek your servant. See, like for me, I know the word of God. I preach on the word of God. But I've come to a realization that it's just not enough to know the word of God. I want to experience the word of God. And that requires me to cry out. I am a lost sheep. God, seek me out. Just like the psalmist. One of the misnomers that people say today is, I find God. I found God. I can understand in the exuberance why they say that. And I don't begrudge them for saying that. But if you think about it, the accurate statement should be, God found me. Was God ever lost? No. You were lost. And he found you. And all you could have done was probably stand around just acting dumb and saying, bah. Cry out in distress. But God came, carried you on his shoulders, and brought you back to the fold. Yes, the only thing that I think that we can do is to admit that we are lost and cry out. But I tell you that God will graciously just come. He is our chief shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And he delights in shepherding his people. And when you cry out to God and saying that I am a lost sheep, he will just come and reveal himself as shepherd in your life. So as I bring this message to a close and Ernie comes up, I really just only touch briefly on this most beautiful Psalm 23. But my wish for all of us this morning is for us to cry out to God, that just admit to God that we are all lost sheep. And then when we do that, God will come and graciously seek us out and carry us on his shoulders. See, there's some of us here or some of us listening in who are feeling worried, feeling scared. And my prayer for you today, this morning, is that God will give you a personal revelation that he is your shepherd. That you will know when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it is God that is leading you through. They are only shadows. But the most important thing is that God is by your side. See, Psalm 23 has so many promises for the Christian life. So as we close and cry out to God for this revelation, as we bring our worries to God, I will just briefly read out again Psalms 23 and see how God's multidimensional character is illustrated in this beautiful psalm. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. I shall not want. Yahweh Ira, the Lord my provider. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yahweh Sikenu, the Lord our righteousness. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Emmanuel, God with us. Yahweh Nisi, the Lord our banner. Your rods and your staff, they comfort me. Yahweh M. Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Yahweh Rapha, the Lord our healer. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. Amen.
Open up your heart let me in. Open up your heart. Open up your heart, let me in. Open up your heart, let me
Jesus, we just open up our hearts, God, to let you in, Lord God. We admit, Lord God, that we are lost sheep, God, and we are but dumb sheep, Lord God, in need of a Savior, in need of a shepherd, God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the good shepherd, God. You are the chief shepherd, God. And you lay down, Lord, your life, Lord, for the sheep. And this is the confidence, Lord God, that we have, Lord God, in you, Lord God, that you are the good shepherd. You lay down your life for us, Lord God. And because of that, Lord God, we do not need to worry, Lord God, but we just simply need to trust, Lord, in your leading, in your guidance, God. And even though, Lord, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord God, we'll fear no evil, Lord. For you are, Lord, with us, Lord God. Your rod, Lord, your staff, Lord, they comfort us, Lord God, I pray. So we thank you, Lord, for your promises, Lord God, I pray. In your word, God. The promises, God, in who you are, in your character, Lord, in your nature, Lord God. I just pray, God, that you seal that, Lord God, in each and every single one of us who are listening in, God. That you will give us a revelation, Lord God, on who you are, Lord God. As shepherd, Lord God. Our personal shepherd, our personal leader, Lord God, throughout the storms of life, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We love you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, again. Amen. Let's turn to the community prayer. Let's pray for people who are undergoing cancer and people who are recovering from cancer with chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let us pray for their complete healing. Pray for members in our community who are sick, but more importantly, who are in need of salvation. Just pray for God's mercy to just come upon their lives. Let us pray. Pray for members of community who are sick. Just pray for complete healing. Pray for members of our community who are looking for jobs. Let us pray for the favor of God. We just pray for open doors of opportunity. Let's pray that each one of them there would not worry as well, that they would know that God has a plan and God is the one that's personally shepherding each and every single one of them that are on this list. So let's just pray. Pray for missions focus. Let's pray for North Korea and the peace on the Korean Peninsula, especially for these Winter Olympic Games. There'd just be an avenue for God's peace to just come upon the Korean Peninsula. Let's also pray for mission opportunities and partnerships across Asia that will be partnered with the right organizations. And also finally pray for the persecuted church as well, especially the persecuted church in the Middle East. Let us pray. Let's pray for the SP weekend gatherings, the anniversary conference, the prison outreach, helping without hurting, the Sunday services, Noah's Ark, the education ministries, worship, hospitality, youth, Yahweh, SP, Indonesia, and other activities and all meetings. We just pray that there'll be Holy Spirit led and Jesus will be glorified. Let us pray. And finally, let's pray for the various house churches that are meeting, Fortress, Mawan, Southside, Westside, and House to House. So just pray for an encounter with God today. Let us pray. So God, we just thank you, Lord God, for this morning, God, that we're able to just come, Lord God, hear your word, Lord God, and to pray, God, and lift up all our petitions to you, Lord God. And I just pray, God, in all our prayers, God, that we'll not be anxious, God, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Lord, we'll make every request of ours known to you, Lord God. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you just come and reveal yourself, Lord, as a shepherd, Lord God, and that the peace of God, Lord, your peace, which surpasses all understanding, God, would just come and flood our hearts and minds, Lord, in Christ Jesus, God. So, Lord God, just come, Lord God, I pray. Give us a revelation of you, God. May we be closer to you, Lord God. Draw us close to you, Lord God, today, Lord God, and for even the rest of our Christian walk, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God. Seal these prayers, Lord God. May they rise up to you, Lord God, as sweet incense, Lord. Come, Lord, and answer you. These prayers, Lord, in your time, Lord God, and give us a revelation of your love for us. So we thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord God, and we trust in you, God. Our confidence is on you, in you, God. Therefore, we do not need to worry. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and for your character, Lord God, and for your very nature, Lord. You are good. You are our good Father, Lord God. You are our good Shepherd, God. You are our Provider, Lord. You are our Healer, Lord God. You, Lord, have provided us everything, Lord God, that we need. You are more than enough, Lord God, for us. So come, Lord God, and comfort us, Lord, I pray. Where we are despairing, Lord God, lift us up, God. Hold us, God, by your hand, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.